This is Lisa Tucker, host of The Book Cover, which showcases local literary personalities. So listen to The Book Cover on The Borderline. And remember, don't judge a book by its cover. Hi, you're listening on The Borderline. We are The Book Cover. I'm Lisa Tucker, and today I have a repeat offender, but a long time. You haven't been here in so long.
No.
Marianne Perry. Welcome, Marianne.
Thank you very much. I can't believe a couple of years.
Four years. Yeah.
So
we've been doing this for six.
Oh, my.
And with a little bit of a break with COVID, I was scared to come in.
Yeah.
You know. But you were one of the very early on people that we,
Well, 4 years really speaks as to how long it's taken me to finish this book.
This latest book called The Chase. And so you were saying before we started recording, it took you 5 years to write it.
5 years. My original title was Angels and Backpackers, because my first book, The Inheritance, is about 10 years old. And in the last couple of pages, I said, my next novel is Angels and Backpackers. And I had a couple of sort of lines about it. And it took me, you know, it's a long time because I did a lot of other writing projects over that decade.
Yeah.
But this book actually, before it was finished, took me 5 years to write. I kept changing it and
lots
it kept evolving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the genesis too is in really genealogical research about my family. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table years ago, and I had discovered with my family a holograph will. Now that's a handwritten will, and it was in my family. And it was very disturbing. It was surprising. And our lawyer was also a family friend. And I was at the table, Lisa, thinking, oh, wow. And I just knew it had to be in a book, a holograph will. And so that's how it started. And then I was continuing to do the research. My ancestry is Italian. Mm-hmm. And I came across a land deed written in Italian that was 100 years old. This is all true.
Wow.
And I thought, heavens. So at that particular point, there was a wonderful Italian professor called Vince Mancinelli, who has since passed. And I went to him and he helped me translate it. And then I wrote to Italy. And sure enough, there was some land that was in my family. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's got to go in a book. So I kept. And then,
I say there's a book everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere you look, there's a book.
Do you know, writing is my filter. Exactly what you said. So everything that happens, I think, whoa, that's a book. And then I found these letters. And so, you know, every time I thought I had the plot line, something would change. And then when you have like a holograph, well, that's family, you have to be careful because you want to respect privacy and confidentiality.
For the people that are still surviving.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if they've passed, there were secrets, and if the family didn't want anyone else to know, was it right and ethical for me to reveal them?
So what's the difference between a holographic will and a will?
Well, a holographic will is handwritten,
okay.
And anybody can do it, and as long as you're mentally competent,
okay,
it's valid.
You can't do that anymore.
Well, oh yeah.
You can still do it.
Yeah. Holograph wills.
Okay.
And so so just the fact that somebody would handwrite it and then you find it in that. So I knew I wanted to use it, but I also thought, okay, how do I change it because I want to respect the family? So that took a while
to make it nonfiction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other issue is my mom has passed, but she had dementia for years and years, and I was always involved in her care.
Is that where the Alzheimer's portion of the book comes
exactly. in? And the protagonist in The Chase is a single-parent woman in her 40s whose mom has vascular dementia, and that really was a mirror of my mom and I.
Mm-hmm.
And dementia is so prevalent, and most of the caregivers are women.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to thread that through, but again, I wanted to respect my mom and the relationship. So I almost felt like I couldn't finish until she had passed and I had some time to think it through. So I also knew I wanted to have that thread because to me, women, we do so much and it really hasn't changed from the time I was a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're working, you know, we're taking care of children,
the generations between, like, not the baby boomers, so after, so maybe my Gen X, maybe a little bit before that, and forward up until the most recent generations, we are sort of that transitional. So we still have the values that we want to be that stay-home mother, bake yes. cookies, make lunches yes. for our kids, pick up our kids, yeah. drop off the kids. But we also need to make the money as well. Yes. Like two-income homes do so much better than yes. one-income homes.
And you almost need two-income homes.
Right? Yeah. But we still have the values yes. from the 70s.
You're torn. You're so
That's
torn.
That's right. That's right.
And then I was a single parent for a long time, as a lot of women, or perhaps you've never married, so you have that whole dynamic. And I wanted to thread that in, so the protagonist is also a single parent, because I wanted to make it a good story, like a mystery, but I also wanted it to be about women and how we're resilient mm-hmm. and our challenges, but also how we have the capacity for rebirth. And so it took me a long time. A lot, though, was because it was based on truth, and I wanted to be respectful.
Sure.
So that sort of balancing.
So it's a good example of write what you know.
Write what you know. And the other thing, it's write what changes you. Mm. And that was the other thing, because it really did change me, watching my mom, disappear. My mom was the most beautiful, kind woman, and that changed me. Mm-hmm. The other aspect that's in the book, and this is true, was my mom had lost two children, her firstborn and her lastborn, two little girls. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in that shadow of death. Mm-hmm. And I looked like the last little girl who passed, and I had been alive, and I remember. And my mom even called her Anne Marie, which is my name, Marianne in reverse. So my yes. mother had a connection with me, and sometimes she would get confused, eh? And so I wanted to put the whole issue of sibling loss, and that's in there as well. And that took me a long time to realize the impact it had on me.
On the living children, yeah. absolutely.
Because I came from the generation, there was no family counseling.
No.
And I never...
And you don't talk about
no,
it.
No, oh my God.
They
my
didn't talk
father
about
never
it.
Mentioned it. My mom, to me, oh my gosh, thank you for saying that.
Right?
They never talked about it. I can't believe you said that.
We just talked about, on the Superior Review, we just yes. talked about menopause.
Oh my gosh.
Our mothers never told us anything.
No.
We're now, I'm telling my daughter everything.
And we need to.
Right?
We
and
need
this is
to.
Another thing, sibling loss.
Yes.
The siblings that survive carry that loss, even if they didn't know them, even if they weren't alive when yeah. the child passed.
It's like my father was in World War II. And there was no recognition of PTSD.
So we
grew up in that household, like lots of kids did.
Sure.
And there was no recognition. And once again, there was, nowadays, hopefully there would be family counseling. So you're trying to figure this all out by yourself. And nobody, like you said, nobody talks about mm-hmm. it. So I knew I had a lot of issues. I wanted to weave this into the story. And I thought, how do I do it? It's fiction. And how am I respectful? That was mm-hmm. really huge to me. And
I think waiting till your mom passed was the yeah. most respectful.
Yeah.
Like, what a long time. So when did your mom pass?
She died in 2016.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
It took me a long time. And the other thing, I wanted to try and find out how my youngest sister had passed, because they never said anything.
You didn't even know that?
No. My mom would never say. My mom would talk about the youngest one, because I would go to the cemetery with her, right? But my dad never talked about it, but my mom would never say what happened. So I finally found out it was spina bifida.
Wow. Isn't and you know a, what? You'd think, because it's there's a genetic component.
Exactly.
You'd think that your mother would have mentioned this when you were having children.
Yeah. You know, it's just, and then I often think, my mother had vascular dementia, which isn't Alzheimer's. It's caused by the tiny strokes. Mm-hmm. And I've often wondered, I mean, she was born in like 1925 and she died in 2016. So they didn't have a lot of medical knowledge. You figure when she would have maybe had her first transient stroke. And I've often wondered, you know, Lisa, if she had been born in this time, if she would have had proper medication. And then, so that was something too. I wanted to understand dementia and all that. Like, there were so many issues I wanted to understand.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then, you know, they say too, books aren't written, they're rewritten.
Because you've already written it in
yeah.
here.
And then you also want it to be, you know, maybe say 60,000 words, and you don't want it overwhelming, and it's fiction and it's mystery. So you're thinking about pacing and plot and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it took me a long time. And the other aspect was, my first book, The Inheritance, was an historical fiction mm-hmm. in early 1900s, and it took place in southern Italy. I actually had gone there for a couple of
That's
weeks.
That's right, I remember yeah. that, yeah.
And it ends sort of on you don't really know, cliffhanger, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I had so many people say, well, whatever happened to her? And so when I wrote this book, I wanted it to be a standalone, like The Inheritance is a standalone, but I wanted the option that if this character, she could maybe be in my third book and maybe she could tie the first and the second. So that took me a while to figure it out. So even though it's a standalone, and right now I'm starting to write the next book, I want to think, maybe she will. So
sometimes it's the weaving.
Yes.
You know, you have to weave.
Yeah.
Like these two books can be connected, but you have to do some weaving.
Yeah, they're standalones, but now in the third book, because of how I ended the second book, I can weave it together if I want. And that took quite a while to do. The other aspect was, like, authenticity is really, really important to me.
Oh, sure.
So I didn't want to have anything in the book that hadn't really touched me personally, you know. And my book, too, even, like, the blue cover, if anybody has this most gorgeous blue cover.
It is beautiful.
It represents Lake Superior.
Oh,
because it
nice.
Opens in a fictionalized city called Port Superior, which is Sault Ste. Marie, and the protagonist lives on the isolated shores of Lake Superior, which is the most beautiful place, and the blue, because a cover in a novel gives a reader a hint, so, and the chase is a hint too. So it opens up in, say, this area, but then it goes through various locales in North America, and then Italy, Sweden, Switzerland, and Argentina. So, and all those places I've traveled through and traveled to.
Again,
so,
write what you know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why, and when I travel, because writing is my filter, I do old-fashioned photo albums and I take notes. So I have, for example, a character is in Zurich, Switzerland. What I did was I opened my album and I went through and I had cafe shots and, you know, sort of he was in, you know, the train station and even the way they were dressed. So everything is specific and it's authentic. And so I'm hoping that makes it more believable.
Sure.
So that's the other reason why it would take a long time.
Yeah, right?
A lot of work.
What's the main character chasing?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Oh, you can't?
Oh, no, because that's such a wonderful question. Because when you hear the word chase, what do you think?
Someone's chasing her.
Or?
She's chasing somebody.
Right, or something.
Or something.
Yeah, yeah. And so it will all become clear the very last page. Yeah, but that, I had so many different titles. And as I was doing the last draft, and I figured how to sort of, if I wanted, weave it, your word, it all came to me, so I can't really tell you, but it's, it's very intentional, yeah.
Wow. And, okay, so what's the name of the main character?
Well, her name is Anna. It starts off as Anna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another mystery.
Yeah, well, there's, well, mysteries have crime.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's sort of, you know, investigations in there. Let's just say there's, you know, some devious people, a lot of betrayal,
and it's
a lot of lies.
It happens in the present.
It's contemporary, like 2004, 2005. And how it kind of opens is she has these nightmares. Now, anyone who has had a mom or somebody in the family with dementia, if all of a sudden you're starting to have nightmares, you're thinking early onset Alzheimer's, right? If you forget your keys, you think, oh my gosh. So this character, she's in her mid-40s, and I know myself, if I just get confused, I think, oh my gosh.
Because it can be genetic.
It can be.
Especially with the type that your mother
you
had.
You got it. So I opened it that way where she is having these nightmares, and her fear is she has early onset dementia. That's how it opens. But then she goes to her mailbox, and she finds a holograph will in her mailbox that is 25 years old, and it is the holograph will of somebody in her family who she was very close to. So who put it there?
And see, I'm thinking right now, because I have an English degree, so of course go here. So right now I'm thinking, so the main character, Anna, she is the narrator.
Yeah.
But she's unreliable.
You got it.
Because she thinks she might have...
Yeah.
Right?
She doesn't know.
I haven't even read the book yet. But this is, I'm getting all this. She's unreliable.
So as a reader...
The only impression you have is from that unreliable narrator.
Because you're thinking, maybe she does have early onset dementia, right?
And what is she telling us?
But then she finds the landie that's 100 years old in her mailbox. And then she finds a letter that was written by a family friend who died decades ago with these horrific family secrets. So somebody has put all of this stuff in her mailbox. So what's going on? She thinks she has early onset dementia. Is she imagining this? She's not.
Because it's paper.
It's right there. So she's trying to figure it out. And then the secrets that are revealed in the letter, if she tells her family, it'll destroy the family. Mm. So what should she do? So she decides to go to Europe and figure things out.
And did she go with a friend?
Of course she goes with her girlfriend.
That's exactly
what I'm saying. Right, she does. She goes with Jesse.
Oh, yeah. And childhood gal friends. Pals. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, yeah. I believe in sisterhood. Yes. Very, very much. I believe female friendship's your family. It doesn't matter if you're blood or not. And that was another thing. I'm a member of the Zonta. I'm a volunteer, yes. And they're strong. They're all women.
Yes.
And sisterhood, yeah. So she goes with Jesse.
I love it.
And yeah.
It sounds like this book was very therapeutic for you.
You know what? That's why it took me so long.
Yes,
thank you for saying that.
Addressing the sibling trauma.
That was huge.
Addressing the mother, you know, as a caretaker.
So sad.
This loss
yeah.
of your mother, yeah. you know, all of that. Yeah. This sounds like it was you working all that stuff out. That's why it took so long.
It did. And I learned a lot. Like, I never really realized, and I have a sister. She's a couple years younger than me. And we've talked about this, and we never realized the impact of having two sisters die had on our family. One thing it does, it disrupts your birth order.
Sure does.
So my sister became the youngest by default. So she was the baby, but she shouldn't have been the baby. Yeah. So we talked a lot about that. And again, you go back at that time, there was no family counseling.
No.
And you had to figure it out by yourself. But
and
like,
you and your sister are each other's therapists,
exactly.
really, because who else knows?
Exactly. And because and if nobody talks about it then, like Anna, is that true? Did it really happen?
Mm.
Yeah. So it took me a long time to sort through things. And again, I wanted to respect my family.
Yeah.
But I wanted a really good story.
Yeah.
And it's relevant to a lot of women, as you said, caregivers, dementia, sibling loss.
Yes.
You know, divorce.
And I was going to say, too, even in my family, so because nobody talked about anything,
yes.
but you hear the rumors come down the line, right?
Beautiful. Oh, thank you for saying
everybody
that.
Everybody has a story.
Yeah, and you hear the rumors.
You hear the rumors. So I'll say to a cousin, you know, is this true? Did this happen?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, I heard that too. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, you hear the rumors.
Isn't
and
that
all
funny?
These secrets. And every family has secrets.
Everybody. Some
does.
Weird thing that happened in the past. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and I wanted to sort of touch on that. So it took me a long time. It could have been like 6 books, but I knew how I wanted it to begin, and I knew how I wanted it to end. And I love to travel, and I like books that are in different locations. So I wanted to weave in the travel element, but I wanted it to be places I had been again, so it was authentic.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but
is it more like an eat, pray, love, or is it more of a murder at the
yeah,
table.
Yeah, it's not eat, pray, love, because, you know, she's not in Switzerland. Like she ends up she's not in all the countries.
That's right.
But it threads through.
Yes, the travel.
Yeah. And I like that because a lot of people want to travel and explore, but not everybody has the luxury of traveling or the time or the health.
Yeah.
And so I like books too that if you read, then you can vicariously experience.
Well,
so that was part of it too.
Funny you say that because I have tattooed on my arm the places you'll go from Dr.
Oh
Seuss.
Oh my God, that's beautiful.
And because the more that you read, the more that you know, the more that you learn, the more places you go.
Yeah.
And not physical places, but places in your imagination.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And I really wanted that. But like I said, I read years and years ago, books aren't written, they're rewritten.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time. But and I think like the third book I've just started working on, and I know how I want it to begin, I know how I want it to end, but I can't really figure out the in between. So I think I've also learned a lot from this process too.
Oh sure, you know what? If you're not learning every time you do something like this, and for a writer, you pour yourself,
you
and
do.
Especially this book for you, you poured yourself into this, and it's probably a raw.
Yeah. Well, my mom, you know, do you know of anyone who's had dementia or Alzheimer's?
Not really.
Yeah, not really.
I took massage therapy at State College.
Okay.
And we went into the Davy home,
okay.
and there was a few people in there that would have the sundowners when we would go in.
Oh, yes.
And they were very, very violent and scary.
Oh, yes,
it's
yes.
very, very scary.
Yeah.
And, you
my
know,
mom
you
never,
know
yeah. oh,
their,
yeah.
My mom, when she had her stroke, she had...
Oh, wow, I'm sorry,
she had... she was delusional because she was in ICU for so long.
Well, then you have a sense of it, though.
And on propofol.
Oh, wow.
So she actually, my poor little mummy, so I can understand a little bit.
Yeah, you can,
She is the nicest, kindest, most gentle. She bit a nurse.
Oh, my gosh.
My poor mummy.
So you've seen that, You can understand.
Yeah, and she started speaking Italian to me.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't understand Italian.
Really?
Yeah, it was scary.
Oh, but then you understand the changes and you're trying to figure it out. And then it's really difficult because the person maybe physically looks the same.
But they're not. But
they're speaking Italian. You're thinking, who is this person?
Yeah, it's, yeah.
It's,
she even at one point, she was had a feeding tube in and I had a bottle of water. It was in Sudbury, so I would walk every day. So I had a bottle of water and she looked at me. She goes, I want that water. And I said to the nurse, can I give her the water? And the nurse says, no, she's got a feeding tube in. I'm like, oh, Mom, I can't give this to you. And she looked at me and she said, you too?
Oh, my gosh. and that's difficult.
It was awful.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah.
Like, I can laugh about it now, but at the time, I was dying inside.
No, not at the time. Yeah.
Dying inside.
That's why when I wrote it, like I said, I wanted it to be a story with a lot of mystery. And, you know, I wanted to have it like the genealogy, the holograph will.
Sure.
But I really, too, wanted to deal with women, you know, like the friendship. And then, you know, Anna was a single parent, and the caregiver.
So
well, I think it is to honor what women are trying to cope with today.
I was just going to say to honor also your mother.
My mom.
Your mother's journey.
Yeah. Well, the book is dedicated to my two angel sisters. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I did that. Because, you know, they didn't live long. They almost a year, both of them. And I think of that.
Did they both have spina bifida?
No, the first one was in Toronto and my mom and dad lived in Toronto. And all she would say was they weren't strong. So I think maybe it was a heart issue. And you figure back then. And she, like I said, she never told me my youngest one was spina bifida. It was actually my godmother who told me. So,
isn't that crazy? One of the most traumatic moments
really?
Of your mother's life. And she
Can
never
imagine?
Talked
no,
to you
she
about
kept it.
It
all inside. And she was such a kind woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think the other thing, too, because I grew up, what I call in the shadow of death with my two little sisters, is I've never feared aging. You know, a lot of women, and men, too, but they really fear it. I haven't. I just want to stay healthy, and I really believe that if I'm afraid of getting old, I thought, how can I do that when my two little sisters weren't even given the chance to live?
It's a gift.
It doesn't bother me. And I think in life, you know, Lisa, we have to find the blessing in everything that happens.
Absolutely.
And I really wanted to honor my sisters too. I mean, I'm older. And, you know, people say, oh, you know, when you get older, you can't do anything. Oh, you can do anything. Stay healthy.
Lots of stuff.
So much as I was never an athlete, so obviously.
Well, you're not running a marathon.
No. I couldn't run
60s.
A marathon when I was 20.
Right,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? Like, but there's so much we can do. And in fact, last Saturday, excuse me, I was at Kohl's and we were doing an author chat. We okay for time?
Yeah, we are.
And there were a number of people I was chatting with, and, you know, they wanted to write, yet they didn't have, you know, sort of confidence in themselves or they can do it. And you've got to shake that.
That's the Canadian writer. The
I
Canadian
know.
Writer
Thank
are
you.
Not confident
oh,
and they're humble.
Oh, my gosh. I like the humble
yes,
part,
yes.
but the lack of you've got to believe in yourself.
Yeah.
Like you can, and age sometimes actually you have more to work with.
Yeah.
Like how on earth would I have understood the loss of a mom
at 20
if I hadn't lost? Like the fact that even though she's been gone, you know, since 20, I miss her every minute of the day. And how could I possibly understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. Or even what dementia does. I could never understand it.
No.
Well, you could, but not to the degree I do.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a more respectful way to say it.
Yeah.
But I think that is the gift of growing up in the shadow of the sibling loss was I really don't fear age. You know, like I said, I'm starting my next book and I got another idea after that. You know, you stay healthy.
See, I love that.
You know?
I love that positivity because people will say, oh, you know, I'm 50, whatever, and my hips hurt, and this hurts, and this hurts. Well, even at my age, I have lots of friends that didn't get to be 56.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
and
I have friends that, for whatever reasons, because they struggled or didn't, you know, they didn't get to be 56. I get to be 56.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Aren't
I love
we lucky?
It. Yeah, we are lucky.
We are lucky.
Absolutely.
And I think to celebrate that is really important.
Yeah.
You know, and it honors my little sisters. And that's why I even knew before I had the final draft, I had to dedicate the book to my little
sisters.
Yeah.
Your
Catherine Rose
so.
And Anna Maria. Those are their names.
Your mom would be so happy.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The strength.
So now your next book, do we have a title?
No, and I'm not going to say anything, but again, it's different than this, but there will be a strong female character as the lead. Oh yeah, and she will have a friend. You know.
And will there be a mystery?
Definitely a mystery, and it's rooted in another sort of issue that is true, different than this, but wow, it's really good too. And it's sort of within the family sphere. Yeah, me too. And I'm excited about it too. And I've started taking my little notes. And actually, when I was talking to some people at the author chat, they were saying, oh, how do I start? I said, get a journal. And, you know, obviously your listeners can't see it. Get a journal. And this one says next novel ideas. And every day write something. It may not end up in the book, but it gets you into the habit, into the routine, and you never know. And so I've started that
too. I got some great advice from Judy Penn's show.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She's a fabulous local author.
Excellent.
She told me once, and I actually have what she told me. She wrote it on a piece of paper, and I have it on my mirror.
Good.
And it says, one page a day, 365 days, that's a book.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's all. You don't have to sit down for 10 hours.
No, you just break it down. Yeah. That's it. And like I just start with one sentence a day.
Yeah.
Like if you're just starting, And I think the other thing too is you're not going to get it all in one draft.
No.
You know, it's 3-4 drafts, but just you can't edit a blank page. That's the other thing, right? You can't, and that's what I tell everybody. Just write something.
Yeah.
That's all. And just start small. Look at, like I said, you know, just little lines.
A couple of sentences.
You know, I mean, I was listening to the radio the other day, and I love country music. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea who this singer is. Her name is Stella Lefty. And I thought, is that not a great name?
That is a great name.
And I wrote down Stella Lefty, female country singer. Don't know any, but I love the name. So I wrote it down.
She's going to be in one of your books.
Well, the name.
Yeah.
But names really are, they're trigger. They symbolize something, right? And so something as simple as that. Or that today I had a great interview with Lisa, and she told me about her tattoos because I love body art.
Uh-huh.
I have one tattoo, and it's my daughter and I are both Libra, the horoscope.
Yep.
And, oh gosh, probably about 20 years ago when she was going off to university, we went and got matching tattoos because they're both Libra. Hers is at the bottom of her spine, and mine is on my ankle. And she said, that way we are always together.
Yep.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, and I love that.
Every tattoo has a story.
Absolutely.
So I had this idea, and it's in my book. I thought, what if one day you wake up and your body is all covered in tattoos, and it's somebody's story, but it's not your story? Isn't that good?
I love that.
Me too. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it or any.
Oh, I see.
But
you know what?
And you write it down.
There's a story everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere.
If writing is your filter.
Yeah.
There's a story everywhere.
There is.
There really is.
Now, who published The Chase?
It took a long, it's sort of convoluted. I did the design.
Yeah.
The actual cover design, I worked with a designer from the Sioux called Cassie Ammond. She's done my website and my first book. So we did it together. And how I wanted it, I wanted blue for Lake Superior.
Yep.
And I wanted, if you see it, there's actually a line from the holograph well. I wanted that, the textured background. There's a seal to represent the old land deed. Fed her all of this, and then so she did that.
And that's what she came up with.
Yeah, and so I did that, and then the actual physical design, I did the headings. I had it edited by the Writers Union of Canada. Mm-hmm. And then what I did to actually have it printed, I used Friesen Press to have it printed. So I did it that way.
Yeah, very popular
In Canada. Yeah, very. Well, they're very good. They're Canadian.
Yes.
You know, and so, but I did it sort of the other way because I wanted to control. I chose the title, you know, because I knew exactly, and I have to be careful, I'll give it away. And I wanted blue for Lake Superior, and I knew even like there's different different sections and all of that. And I decided I wanted to sort
of complete control.
Well, I knew what I, you know, it took me, like I said, so long. Mm-hmm. Like there's the prologue, and then the first section, it's called Part One, April 2004, Hope and Grace. And when you get to the end of Part One, you'll understand.
Okay.
Whereas you see, sometimes if you go traditional, they control the design, they control the title, and I didn't want, there was too much of it in me.
Too much of you in that.
This
is like a baby.
It really is. Yeah. And then I had worked with Cassie for years, and so it took a while, but I knew exactly what I wanted in that. So, and that again.
Oh, you must be so proud. Where is it available right now?
Actually, the city is wonderful. So Kohl's has it in the Station Mall, but also Stone's Office Supply, Feeding Your Soul Cafe, the Totem Bowl Gifts and Souvenirs, the Museum, the Art Gallery, the Bush Plane, and Ermitinger.
And of course, online.
And Amazon. Oh, yeah. Indigo.ca. I encourage Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available as an ebook and print.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
This summer, do you have any events?
I just finished Kohl's. I have the Bush Plane this Thursday.
That will already be in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then I'm going to probably take July and August and just do some social media. I want to actually do some blogs about encouraging writers. And I have a couple writers who are giving me 500 to 800 words that I said I would look over in that. Mm-hmm. So over the summer, and because I want to visit my kids, they don't live here.
Of course.
And then I've already booked the library in October for their Author Palooza again.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so that's already booked. Amazing.
Isn't that wonderful? Yeah.
As the book cover, I've been there for...
They're wonderful.
They do a great job.
But that's the other thing I'm trying to do, I think, in July and August is work on my third novel and also read some writing by some... authors, some people who want to write books. I said I would do that for them, doing that as well.
Oh, good for you. Well,
people help me, so I think paying it forward is really important. So I want to do that this summer too. Yeah.
Well, this is your second time. How'd you do?
You're the best.
Oh, good.
Thank you. You are the best.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you very, very much.
We've been talking to Marianne Perry about her second book, The Chase, available where all fine books are sold in Sault Ste. Marie, including the regular. The regular places, Stone's, Kohl's,
the library,
museum,
museum,
all those places. Yeah. And of course, on Amazon and Indigo. Pick it up, The Chase. We have been talking again with Marianne Perry. This is The Book Cover. I'm Lisa Tucker on The Borderline. And remember, don't judge a book by its cover.
This is Marianne Perry, author of The Chase, my new contemporary mystery rooted in destructive family secrets. For more information on my novel, for contact information, please check out my website, marianneperry.ca. If you'd like to contact me, check out my website as well. Thank you to The Book Cover with Lisa Tucker. The podcast is available on theborderline.ca and wherever you get your podcasts from.